This is Bill Lindeke for the Streets.mn podcast, conversations about transportation, public space, and urban design in the Twin Cities. It's been a few weeks since my last podcast. I've been away at a wedding in Philadelphia, and I've somehow managed to fall behind even my lackadaisical schedule. Actually, I have a backlog of podcast interviews that I've taped, and I haven't had the energy to put them up lately. There's a podcast from the Streets.mn taproom tour from back in May, an interview with Neil Carlin, who wrote a book on Hennepin Avenue back in the mobster days, and an interview from quite some time ago with Dan Ibarra, an artist who did a project on the automated sounds of Minneapolis's parking garages. So all those are really cool, and I'm hoping to put them online soon. But today I'm going to share something that I recorded just last weekend. This podcast is a conversation with Andrew Howard, one of the founders of the Better Block Project. Project Better Block, as they call it, is an example of tactical urbanism, which describes a series of approaches to planning, placemaking, and community outreach that encourages experimentation, temporary installations, and what you might call improvisation within the urban realm. It's a new approach that urban designers and neighborhood planners have started adopting lately, and Andrew Howard is one of the founders of this particular group called the Better Block Planning Consulting Organization. Now, it started a few years ago back in Dallas, Texas. Well, Andrew and I met up last weekend during a Better Block event on East 7th Street in St. Paul. The city had brought in Andrew's team to come and set up their project on a two-block area of the east side where they temporarily transformed streets and public spaces using a little more than duct tape from different colors, used pallets, and a lot of volunteers. We chatted about the history of Better Block, some of the different types of community engagement, and what tactical urbanism may offer cities in the future. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome to the Streets.mn podcast. I'm here with Andrew Howard. And Andrew, you are one of the organizers of the Better Block Project. Is that correct? That's what is the Better Block Project?
Yeah, the Better Block is a planning tool that we use to get folks out of the town hall and onto the streets to experience placemaking and complete streets. And we do these all around the country now, and about to go to a couple different countries in the world too.
Okay. What's the short version of what this is?
So it's the living charrette is what we've called it. Instead of doing plans and just talking about things in a town hall, we actually go out to exactly the location we want to try out things, and we temporarily install things like bike lanes or widen the sidewalks. And then we don't want to just have those, we want to have some place to go to. So we do markets or pop-up shops that go along with it. This allows us to get the whole community to experience it. We build it with them, but then we're also doing metrics while we're out here. So we're testing how fast the cars are going, the decibel level, how the vendors are doing, and just the overall feeling of the place as well.
Uh-huh. What do you mean by overall feeling?
I guess there is such a vibe that comes off. It's much different than a street festival of sorts, because there's so many owners of the project that are here that volunteered to help build this, so it wasn't just a corporate type event. So we've got local vendors, but we've also got volunteers from the neighborhood and from all of Minneapolis, St. Paul that came to help build a better block.
Okay, so can you tell me where this idea came from and how you got started doing this kind of unusual? I mean, in a way, it's like a street festival, but it's different because it has kind of an agenda, I think. It's like trying to be pedagogical a little bit, like trying to teach people, hey, this is how our streets can make a difference in your everyday life, you know? There's a bus going by. How did this get started? What was the origin myth or origin story of this?
So I am an urban planner, and I think I did about 200 public meetings prior to starting the Better Block. And I think I was just always wanting to get out in the streets and do something. And so my buddy Jason Roberts and I, we were in Dallas, and our city was a little bit slow to adopt complete streets. And we even had some really bad ordinances that you couldn't have, like, cafe seating or even form a crowd on the streets. So we said, well, why don't we just break some of those rules over a weekend and build it out with our friends and show the city what we're talking about. So we built the Better Block, the first one, in April 2010. We invited our city council and our planning commissioners out. And they said, you know, I don't know why we have these ordinances in place, and I don't know why we haven't invested in and bike lanes.
Give me an example of the ordinances that you're talking about. And then where in Dallas were you? Because I've been to Dallas. It's kind of interesting. And it's not a total wasteland of urbanism. But, you know, it's certainly walking around Dallas, which is what I like to do when I go places, was really tough to do.
Yeah. Definitely, there's been a lot of investment in post-war infrastructure, so a lot of highways. But we do have an old streetcar system that used to be there, and we're bringing some of it back. And so I live in one of the little streetcar suburbs south of downtown in Oak Cliff. Uh-huh. And we saw we had this great street network, and we had these great buildings, but there was something missing. And it was because we built that infrastructure for people walking, but now the car had kind of taken over. So we went back, and we wanted to return some of the auto space to people. Once we started doing that, then we now have a streetcar coming back. We have bike lanes going down, and we saw that the city started moving policy a lot faster than just going and yelling at city council.
So, Andrew, I want to get into the weeds here because our audience is kind of really geeky and wonky. So, like, how wide are the streets where you did this, and then what exactly ordinances did you kind of break or bend?
Yeah, and I think there's some of these ordinances probably all around the country because they come out of Euclid and they come out of some of the city codes that we've just copied over and over and used in our city. So the biggest one is we charge a lot of money to use the public right-of-way, and usually awnings and arcades. We charge per square footage that they use, and so we're saying that we need to tax businesses to use the public right-of-way. That may have some short-term goals because that pays some salaries of us planners, but the long-term goal is it reduces the amount of revenue that's coming out of our street cafes.
And discourages people from building them in the first place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not an invitation. It's, you know, it's a hindrance. So if you ever wonder why you had some really short and narrow awnings on buildings, that's probably because the city charges for the right-of-way to be used. So that's a really great one that you can just get. Find a different revenue source for your planning department to be working off of. We had one that was ridiculous. You couldn't form a crowd on the sidewalk.
Oh, that's kind of common, I think, in a lot of places. It's like almost like a crowd control / political free speech kind of thing. In Minneapolis, too, there's a rule. Like, if three or more people, it constitutes a crowd and you need a permit or whatever. Those rules are actually common all over the place.
Yeah, they're all over. And it's how they apply them as well. So are you going to go enforce that on someone who's busking and adding to the street life? Or the other one we found is you couldn't put merchandise on the sidewalk, so you couldn't have a flower market or a street vendor on a sidewalk. Some of the other more common ones were street flowers, that you couldn't have flowers that were on the sidewalk, or you couldn't have a sign that you put on the sidewalk itself. So a lot of things that if you went to Europe, you'd see pretty, you know, all over the place. And those things create ownership not only just for the property owner but for people walking up and down them. So we also had policies about our streets and that they were graded on a level of service,
right,
just for autos, not for pedestrian or bicycles. And the simple way we wanted to go about it was, let's share as much space on the street for bikes and pedestrians as the automobile. So we took a street that was about 60 foot wide, had really narrow 4 foot sidewalks on each side, and had three lanes. It was a one-way street, and we necked it down to one lane and added bike lanes on one side and a cafe on the other. So then we were sharing between all modes.
In Dallas, wow, that's that. How did that go over? See, because I've been to Dallas, and well, it's not that different from anywhere else in the U.S. I mean, but it is like. It is a place that has just automobile everywhere, kind of landscape, right?
Yeah, we kind of flipped the tables on Dallas because a lot of our one-way pairs that were started there were done using a demonstration process. So they say, well, let's just change it for 120 days to one-way, and we'll see how it works. And they stayed that way, uh-huh. You know. So now we said, well, let's just try it for a weekend in a different way, and let's get everybody to fall in love with it and get over their fear of change of doing this. So, it started slowly, but now we actually have engineers in Dallas that are comfortable with removing some lanes for bikes and pedestrians.
And then, so where did the project go after that? San Antonio, I know, is one of the cities,
yeah.
Right?
It's now been over. I think this is the 52nd Better Block.
Get out of here.
No, 53rd, because I think Indianapolis started an hour before us today.
Okay.
So
they beat us. Those
yeah, they beat us by a few hours.
Okay.
We have good pictures though. yeah, so it's now being used as part of the planning process in many cities. We just finished one in Norfolk, Virginia, that helped create an arts district in 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And that's really fast for a planning project. A lot of folks spend a couple years on these things.
Like which cities now? Let's just list how many can you do.
Oh, wow. Let's see. Norfolk, Memphis, Tulsa, Oklahoma City 3 times, San Antonio 3 times, Fort Worth twice. Let's see. St. Paul.
Okay. And what, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, Cleveland, Norfolk, Virginia. There's been a couple now in Florida. They just did a transit stop in Florida, a transit line in Florida.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And they're becoming a lot of student projects as well. They're integrating it into the curriculum at universities, which is exciting for us.
Yeah. I really like this because it's kind of like what you were saying about the planning process. And you're Tim, right?
I just want to give
feel
a plug.
Free.
This guy is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
He's done an absolutely fantastic job down here.
Okay.
And the people in the neighborhood, this is what it's all about, bringing people together. And I can't say enough about what a good job he's done. Absolutely.
You want to introduce yourself real quick, Tim?
Tim Holden, yeah. I'm Tim Holden from St. Paul. I'm in the Midway, and I'm running for City of St. Paul Mayor. But I just want to take a few minutes and say what a wonderful job he's done. Because it is. It's been fantastic. Planning, getting the community to come together, and the people here are having a wonderful time today. Absolutely.
Great. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
That's cool. Yeah, and what I've learned going to all those cities is that every city has all the talent and resources that it needs. There's no Superman that's going to come and do these changes. It's really the people that are there. We just need to be a little bit more connected, and that's what the Better Block does, is it brings that community of doers together and gets them interconnected. And I'm excited to see what happens in St. Paul now after this, because I've seen folks not only from Dayton's Bluff but from Minneapolis come over, and that connectedness, those good minds working together, I think y'all got a lot of great resources to build from.
Yeah. What I was going to say was about the planning process and the difference between a drawing. So, I mean, often, I don't know, community engagement is really tough, right?
Yeah.
And I think the classical way, the classic model that you were describing about having the community meeting and you have option A, B, C, and D, and you look at it, and maybe there's an artist rendering or something that's kind of like, got the little people pasted in there and got some green trees that don't exist and won't exist for decades or whatever. But, you know, there's a big difference between that and between this and what we're experiencing right here, where you've literally changed the street just for a day, right? Why is that difference so important? That's my question.
I think it's a whole different group of folks that also come to a Better Block. They're probably people that couldn't even set through the public meeting themselves, and we need their input. It's the artists, it's the moms, it's the DIYers, it's people that are using a lot of this. It's not the architects, the engineers, the specialists. It's the generalists.
Yeah. But to be fair, there are a lot of architects and engineers here today.
Yeah, there are. I think we made a few of them uncomfortable, but they're getting it. I think it's important that it's also the scientific method. You know, most other institutions, we test things, we prototype, and we put things out and we see if it works with a low-cost method before we go spend millions of dollars on hard infrastructure. And we need to do that more in the city. We need to try things out and make sure, is someone going to use that bench?
Mm-hmm.
Is someone going to use that bike lane? And when we put it out there and we get the real pictures of people using it, it becomes so much easier to push for the hard money and really the brain power that we need to make this right. The Better Block's not perfect. It has squiggly lines a little bit. It has some rough edges to it. But I know that if you get past the fear of some of the changes that we showed, we've got enough smart people in this city, architects, engineers, planners, generalists, that we can get it right. We can get those lines straight.
Okay, we're almost done here. I wanted to kind of... let's just describe what we did here on the corner, East 7th and Margaret. All right, like in particular, what happened? How did this process go in St. Paul?
Yeah. So we start with a community walk, and we walk around and identify good things and bad. And we're sitting on a corner right here that very dangerous. It has a turn that you can take at about 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, that radius is crazy right here. That I'm...
And the decibel level right here was about 90, consistently 90. We're having a conversation, so we're about 60 now. Uh-huh. And we wanted to bring it down where you could have a cafe.
Well, any listener to this podcast will appreciate that because the audio quality is going to be better now.
Yeah. And we knew that it's also about scale in the city. We often talk about transportation plans for the region or for the city itself or maybe a corridor. But we really broke it down to the block. And if we can get the block right and we can make this safe, then let's go to the next one and make it safe. So we've got two lanes of traffic where there used to be four. We still have on-street parking, but now we've got an expanded sidewalk. We've got a two-way cycle track here, one of the safest facilities that you can build. And then we've got a plaza that was built out of a street that was a cut-through, really. There's only one business that had access off this street, so we're not losing a lot of automobile access, but we've greatly increased the pedestrian and bicycle access to the area. One of the keys to walkability is sight lines, too. So it's not all about just how fast you can walk from one place or the safety. But from this location, you can see all the businesses. You can see a couple different pieces of art. And you can also see some great architecture from right here. So getting those things within sight lines makes you want to walk. Because you're like, I want to go to that next thing. I want to go to that next
thing. Yeah, it's about seduction in a way.
Yeah.
As Walt Disney put it, it's the hot dog stand, you know, at the end of the street. You see that hot dog stand, you want to keep walking and going toward it. So.
And that's funny you bring up Walt Disney as an example because Disney World or Disneyland, I mean, are these sort of micro, like, utopian towns, you know, that you drive, like, across the country to go visit when it's just kind of interesting that, there's no cars in Disneyland.
Oh, it is the urban planner's dreamland, I guess, today because... we get to do these things so quick. I think as an urban planner, I just couldn't wait for some of my 20-year plans to happen. And so when you break those down to the block level, something really achievable, it does make it kind of feel like a dream come true.
What kind of tape do you guys use? Because all these lines are temporary, right?
Yeah, this is all material that you can buy at a hardware store. So we use a lot of duct tape. You can get duct tape in every color now. So we've got white and yellow here. We've got some blue down at the bus stop as well. Great thing about it, it goes down easy, comes up quick too. We've got a lot of recycled things here. A lot of the planter boxes were built with recycled pallet. And we borrowed a lot of things too. And the borrowing is a big part of the Better Block because that builds community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got borrowed bushes and a lot of other materials that the community just brought.
What kind of city permits do you need to do something like this?
That's why the Better Block's been so transferable from Dallas, is that every city has a special event process and permit. So not unlike having a block party or a parade. They're about $50 here in St. Paul to do. I highly suggest if you're going to do something like the Better Block that you work with the city, get a special event permit. They're great. You can do a lot with them, and it gets you some protection too, because there is inherent liability when you do something like this in it. And having the special event permit says, you know, the city has a part in it. And take lots of pictures, invite your council person to it, and document, and then start making your changes permanent.
Okay. What's next for you, Andrew? And what's next for this street? So tomorrow all this will be gone, my utopia will be vanished, and my dreams will have shattered. I'll wake up into the cold reality of four lanes each way and loudness and diesel fumes. What do we do then? And then what are you going to do after this? I'm curious where this project is going to go in the future, do you think?
Yeah, so this was a demonstration of the entire street design manual that we have. So we took pieces out of it, and it's transferable. We can use the information that we gained here to go help all the neighborhoods in St. Paul. So for this street, I think they've seen a sample of it, and now we need to have some discussions with MnDOT, right? And start them talking about the economics is where I would say, because ultimately the gas tax is going nowhere. We're not getting enough money out of that.
Not this year.
Yeah. So we need some more local tax generation, And I think when we see speeds like this, it means all the businesses do a lot better. Mm-hmm. So let's talk wallet. And slower streets means higher tax revenues. For this project, we've got a couple more months left on the design manual, and then it'll be available for use. As far as Team Better Block, we're on our way to Australia for 3 Better Blocks there. Wow. And then we'll be up in Toronto, Canada later this summer. So we're doing a bit of an international tour, and then hopefully I'll get back home and fix my own block too.
Okay, great. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for listening to the Streets.mn podcast. If you have any feedback or ideas, you can comment on Streets.mn on Twitter at StreetsMN, or you can email me personally at blindeke@gmail.com. So long from the east side of St. Paul.